This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, let's get it, man. Inside the 11 p.m. hour, the last hour I have tonight. Dial the number and you can get on. I got a full rack of calls. Let's go. Mario Long Beach, my guy, on the bat phone. You're in there.
What's going on, my man? Good show as always.
Thanks.
By the way, how's your cat doing?
The cat is good. And, you know, the cat is just kind of navigating. I just was, you know, last night and even in my live chat telling people how my son has a norovirus. So it's been an interesting weekend and a few days in my house, and my cat is just kind of like navigating all the attention being on taking care of my son, and she's very needy. She needs her treats. She needs to be brushed. She needs to be pet, and like she specifically sleeps with me. So, yeah, she's good, but, you know, she's just trying to figure out why she's second fiddle so much to my son these days.
Yeah, well, they pick up on a lot of things. They're unbelievable animals, you know?
Yeah, I love my cat. It's crazy. I said to my wife, I'm like, I did not research to find this cat. I did not set this up. All I did was drive you. We picked up our cat at the, I think, the Vince Lombardi rest stop. Like, randomly, that was the spot. Some people drove up from Alabama with a bunch of animals, and you just see us in the parking lot with other people taking these animals. And I love this cat now. And I remember thinking, I told my wife, like, you got to take care of the cat. I'm not doing anything.
How old is the cat now?
The cat is in human years approaching 3 years old. I don't know how the cat years work.
Oh yeah, I think it's 7 times 7, so that should be 21.
Yeah, I don't like to think of her as that old, but she's so different than she was as a kitten. She's bossy. I said, you got the game messed up. Like, she thinks like I work for her. She thinks that like she like I live in her apartment. She thinks that, you know, she's got the game backwards for real.
You ever notice how like athletic they are, cats?
Oh yeah, like, we have my apartment is baby proof with gates and stuff, and she'll like meow at me to like open the gate, and I'm like, I know you can leap over this gate. When she needs to get to her area or whatever, she can just like vertical leap, just like get on her back feet and just jump over this gate. This gate is like 4 feet. It's like 3 or 4 feet.
Yeah, apart. They're unbelievable. They're unbelievable. So I got a quick thought on the Knick game tonight. I don't know if you had a good chance to watch because I know you are on the air. Very good game. You know, what's very interesting about this game, too, which, you know, I'm a Knick fan. I know you're a Brooklyn fan, but you're very, you know, you don't go one way or the other.
I got the box score in front of me. I saw Kat turned it on. The Knicks needed a win like this. Go on, tell us what you saw.
Oh, no, what I saw, which was great, last year, if Brunson didn't score 30, they had no chance to win. He had an off game. He scored 8 points, and they beat a very good team that had that was the hottest team in the NBA on their home court with Brunson scoring 8. That's a very, very good sign, you know?
Yeah, don't you think? Being versatile, somebody else being able to take the torch, lead them in scoring, like Karl Anthony Towns, and then, I mean, Josh Hart having 30, 10 rebounds. It's good to see the bench chip in as well. Tyler Kolek with 11, Landry Shamet hitting some shots, 15.
Yep.
Miles McBride hitting some shots, 9. That's what you need. I think they're learning from the losses they've taken to the elite teams, and they're figuring out what they have to do to beat, you know, a team like the Pacers aren't elite, but they've been in the conversation. They're they're not a slouch.
So my last question, and I'll let you go, is what do you think now? It's very interesting in the Super Bowl, right? With Jalen Hurts, a lot of people were saying, oh, I don't know if he's top 10. I don't. Now all of a sudden he won the Super Bowl, And a lot of people says he played better than Mahomes in both Super Bowls, even though he lost the first. Now, is he in the top 10? Is he the top 5? Is he? Can you think of him maybe with Lamar? I mean, but because he won a title, Lamar didn't. Where would you place him in the top 10? Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
Thanks for the call, Mario. Yeah, I did a little bit of this last night as well. And, you know, the first guy that I went after was Brock Purdy and how quickly we made Mr. Irrelevant a top 10 quarterback in the NFL just for getting to a Super Bowl, right? And he's going to get paid. But, like, who would you rather have, Jalen Hurts or Brock Purdy? It's no question. And then when we just look at this year's playoff run and some of these quarterbacks that get thrown around in the top 10, the number one stat is winning. That's what I was just knocking Aaron Rodgers for, because people want to throw out how many touchdowns and yards he put together. Yeah, but how many games did he win? Jalen Hurts wins games, whether it's Saquon running the ball, whether he's throwing the ball to A.J. Brown, or he's throwing the ball to Devontae Smith, his tight ends, or whether he's tucking it and running it himself. He's a winner. He's a leader of men. He's one of 53, and now that he has a Super Bowl and two appearances and playing, again, you know, everything comes right back to stuff that we've talked about. Eli Manning playing his best game in the brightest moment, getting it done when it's the hardest to do it. Jalen Hurts showed up both Super Bowls. Now he's a champion. I think you got to talk about him in the conversation with the top 5 quarterbacks. If we put Justin Herbert up there, who in round 1 folded and threw 4 interceptions, why can't Hurts take his spot? People are so quick to throw Jordan Love in there. What has Jordan Love done? Nah, not above Jalen Hurts. Even Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott had an MVP-like season in the regular season last year. And oh, I sent you some audio from Carlos Mendoza, Alex. I gotta find this audio from Dak Prescott today. Another reason why I'm not rocking with the Cowboys. They just are. The big D is for big delusional dumbasses. These guys do not get it. We'll queue up the Mendoza stuff, and I'm going to send you what Dak Prescott had to say today. Like, it's just so tone deaf, and just like, I don't know what type of world they live in. Jerry Jones must literally have a Jerry Jones Kool-Aid that they all drink. Anyway, man, take Dak Prescott out of there. He hasn't done anything in the playoffs. This guy is 26 with a Super Bowl MVP, 2 appearances. And hey, news flash, everybody. The Eagles are not going anywhere. This might just be the beginning of their run. Why can't they go back-to-back? Why can't they start some kind of dynasty with the quarterback, running back, receivers they have? Oh, let me actually backtrack that. With the offensive and defensive line they have. The reason why we don't want to give Jalen Hurts his credit is because he's got all the pieces around him. He's got a ridiculous offensive line and a bunch of weapons around him. But you know what? He gets it done. 888-808-1019. I know we're going to put Josh Allen up there. Lamar should have been MVP, but they had to give Josh Allen the Embiid MVP. Like, Jokic won back-to-back MVPs. Can't give him a third. Let's give it to Embiid. They did that for Josh Allen. I know that you're going to look at the top quarterbacks. Mahomes is number one. And I just did this. I have a video that I collab posted with my guy Taylor Ringgold that we shot in the Fanatics office. That has aged terribly. Before the playoffs started, I discredited Jalen Hurts. I'm like, I don't even know how good this guy is. You know, listening to talking heads and media and his own teammates. A.J. Brown was upset with him. You know, everybody's going to put Mahomes as number one. Mahomes was the GOAT before he played terrible. Now he's not the GOAT. He's still up there. Mahomes number one. And then somewhere you're going to put Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. C.J. Stroud took a step back this year as well. Who else you got? Why isn't Jalen Hurts there at 5? If it's Mahomes, if it's Lamar, if it's Burrow, if it's Josh Allen, some kind of, you know, those 2, 3, and 4, give me Hurts at 5, then I think he's got to be in the top 5 now. Who am I leaving out? You can miss me with Dak Prescott. You can miss me with Brock Purdy. Miss me with C.J. Stroud. Miss me with Justin Herbert. Yeah, you have to put respect on that man's name now. Josh is in Newburgh. What's up, Josh? You're on the Fan.
Yeah, hi. Keith, first-time caller here.
Awesome. Welcome in.
I want to know why Mahomes wasn't in the top 5 ballot for the NFL MVP.
Why wasn't Mahomes top 5 MVP?
He should have won MVP. It's in the name, most valuable player. Mahomes is the most valuable player.
He had a down
who
year
cares
this
if
year.
He put up the same, if he put up the same numbers as Aaron Rodgers, who wants him on a team as the first QB you're picking is Patrick Mahomes.
Wait. So, okay, he threw more interceptions this year than his regular year. They struggled this year to score more than 30 points. This was not a very Patrick Mahomes dominant year.
Who like, wins the games? Who wins more games?
Andy Reid, Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defense.
If you have to pick a quarterback, you're not picking Josh Allen over Patrick Mahomes.
Correct. I just went through my list. Mahomes, in theory, with his Super Bowl appearances and rings, is the GOAT, the best quarterback right now. But he didn't deserve to win the MVP this year.
It goes by the most valuable, and this is who you want. By the same thing, by an offensive, but for the offensive MVP, it goes by how well you played, and he comes down to win the games.
Offensive player of the year, Saquon won that. And I mean, honestly, if they're going to give Josh Allen MVP, then give Lamar Jackson Offensive Player of the Year. Mahomes had a down year. Thanks for the call, Josh, but that just sounds ridiculous after the game that Mahomes just played in the Super Bowl. He was terrible. I was concerned for this guy to be the GOAT, greatest of all time, better than Brady, best quarterback we've ever seen. Nobody is. He was terrible. He was shook. And I think it's because he got his head rocked early, but so what? That's football. Throw the ball away. Protect yourself. Don't get into those situations where you can have a shoestring tackle where you slam your head on the ground and you almost throw a pick six. All respect for Patrick Mahomes. He's not the MVP this year. Lamar should have had three MVPs. He should have been the MVP this year. I'm not against Josh Allen, and I'm not against the cases for Josh Allen, especially when you look at the roster, him literally putting the team on his back, how he had to run the ball, throw the ball, yada, yada, yada. I get it. I mean, and there was a point on the radio where I was saying Josh Allen MVP after he beat Mahomes. I'm like, that goes into his highlight clip for MVP. And he continued on. But then when you put the side by side together of the season that Lamar Jackson had statistically, much better than Josh Allen. So how is Lamar Jackson all pro, the first string all pro quarterback, but Josh Allen is the MVP? It's subjective again. It's voting. And like, people are trying to, like, save face. Oh, well, we made Lamar the first-string all-pro quarterback, but Josh Allen was the most valuable player. Right? I heard Dan Orlovsky talking about he was more valuable to his team. Are we talking about who's most valuable to their team or most valuable in the league? What Lamar Jackson did statistically was the most valuable player in the league. If not him, then Saquon. But it's a quarterback award. They're not giving it to Saquon. So he gets Offensive Player of the Year. 888-808-1019. Jalen Hurts will never win MVP in a regular season. They're never going to have the offense like that for him to win it. And he doesn't have the skill set. So what? He's a leader. He's a quarterback. He distributes the pill. And you know what the best quality he has is? He's stoic. He's the same when things are good or bad. On the field, in the media, he doesn't show you any emotion. They win the Super Bowl. The guy barely could crack a smile. Peter is in Manhattan on the fan. What's up, Peter?
Peter, how you doing, Keith? How's your son? Good. Jackson's good.
Good. He's getting over a norovirus, but we're now 4 or 5 days through it, so we're on the other end.
Great, Keith. Before I get to my main point, just quickly, somebody talked about Thurman Munson. I mean, Munson was better than Fisk. And then I'm going to give you two other catches the Yankees have been on. Posada, and then they had Elson Howard. So these are additional players that should be in the Hall of Fame. But, Keith, just going back, somebody called before about the best defenses. So the issue I have with that, so you have the 85 Bears, and you have the 2000 Ravens. But I'm going to give you three other names that were probably equally as good and even better. And the problem I have with those two teams, they only made one Super Bowl. So I'm going to take you back to the no-name defense of the Dolphins. Three Super Bowls, two wins. Then I'm going to take you to the Doomsday defense, Dallas Cowboys. Five Super Bowls in the 70s, two wins. And then probably the best defensive team ever was the Steel Curtains of the 70s, four Super Bowl wins. And practically everybody in that team is on the Super Bowl. And then you had Joe Green and Lambert. So that's my point. And, Keith, if I can make one other point with Eli Manning, I think the most compelling case you can make for him being in the Hall of Fame is he didn't have any single play in the offensive whether it be the offensive line, running back, or receivers, that are Hall of Famers. Every other player, every other Hall of Famer had Hall of Famers. He had nobody. Keith, you be well, and great talking to you. I love your show. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Peter. Little history lesson. I've heard of all of those teams and defenses. Obviously wasn't alive to see them play, and I'm not the type that goes back and watches old games. Like, there's enough live games on, and I like all the sports, so I always have something live. Yo, you know what's interesting? I didn't know if I would even care for this, but Unrivaled, the women's one-on-one tournament that they got going on, I'm starting to see clips on social media. I'm like, I like this. And why is the NBA not doing it? I mean, you know, leave the lady something, but just a little. I was watching Skylar Diggins, and I was watching somebody else go at it. I'm like, this is interesting. 888-808-1019. I did want to bring in some audio from Carlos Mendoza. Do you have the audio ready? Can we play a couple of those clips? I have a ton of calls. I don't know if I'm even going to have the time to do it because we've started down this road of, you know, the Super Bowl and Jalen Hurts and MVP and top five quarterbacks. And I think I'll leave it for Gallo. Gallo's filling in for C-Mac tonight. He's coming up at 12. He's wearing his Mets uniform right now. His, you know, his Mets, I look like he had like a team issue, like sweater or something. So Gallo's coming up. Maybe I'll leave the Mendoza quotes and the six-man rotation conversation and Kodai Senga saying they need to make a dome and, I don't know, stuff about Jet Williams and Brett Beatty for the overnight show. Jay is in Jersey on the Fan. Go for it, Jay.
Hey, Keith, I love your show. First-time caller.
Nice. We're getting a lot of first-timers in. That means it's working. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Let me just say, just so I can kind of get this off my chest, I hate the Philadelphia Eagles. I hate them so much. I hate their uniform. I hate their Kelly green. I hate their midnight green. I hate their fans. I hate the city. I hate everything about them. Besides my cousin, who's an Eagles fan, he's awesome until he starts talking Eagles. But the Giants, so in the draft, if they draft Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, whether they're trading up to one or drafting the quarterback at three, I just don't think that they'll be able to, support or like.
Yeah, you don't expect them to succeed right away. It seems far-fetched for them to come in and be Jaden Daniels or even be Bo Nix or be Caleb Williams.
Yeah, yeah, because they don't have an offensive line. It's worse than the Chiefs. Like, what happens if the Giants play the Eagles?
They will, twice.
Yeah.
And that's why I was talking about John Michael Schmidt going up against Jalen Carter. I'm like, they need another center because Jalen Carter bullied him. And he's going to continue. Like, they're not going anywhere. They're only going to get better. They're only going to get stronger, man. The Eagles are not going anywhere. They draft well. They trade well. They'll bring in free agents. Even when they make mistakes. They like Bryce Huff, don't matter. Super Bowl, like, they're not going anywhere. Thanks for making your first call, Jay. Appreciate it. And I hate the Eagles, too. That's why I said I was depressed watching that game. It was over at half. And they didn't want to admit it because they don't want you to tune out. But I'm like, man, this sucks. And, of course, I bet on Mahomes because what does everybody say? Don't bet against the Chiefs. Didn't you learn your lesson? And I did. Don't bet against the Chiefs and Mahomes. That would have been the day. I bet you there's a bunch of happy Eagles fans that loaded up. I saw some Eagle fan from Delaware. He put his life savings on the Eagles. He put $250,000 on the Eagles' money line. Had a great night. Danny is in Bucks County, Pennsylvania on the Fan. Go for it, Danny.
Hey, man. Nice to talk to you. Hey, I am an Eagles fan, but I have to say I think they were fortunate to win the Super Bowl because the unfortunate things that happened with the Lions with those major injuries. They had like over 15 starters out at one point. I do believe a fully healthy Detroit Lions team would have beaten the Eagles in in Ford Field in the NFC Championship game.
Thanks for the call, Danny. They lost to the Commanders, so, like, they didn't even get that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were the number one seed. Jaden Daniels and them boys went and knocked them off. And we can make excuses about injuries, but everybody's hurt. Everybody has injuries. Everybody loses players. It's part of the game. It's a rough-ass game. Got to be able to withstand that. Got to be able to survive that. And they didn't. Alex, please cue up the highest-paid quarterback in the NFL of your Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, today, speaking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And, yeah, it's just so clear that he spent too much time with Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and Brian Schottenheimer. And, like, they are delusional down in Dallas. Go ahead and play it.
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned it and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close, especially when you even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us. All right.
Bro, I don't care about what you did the last couple years in the regular season against the Eagles. Usually it's Cooper Rush versus Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, usually you're injured, and the regular season is not the playoffs. So when he's asked about how they stack up against the Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champs, just a day after, he's got the audacity to say, we're very close. I don't want to say check the record. That's what you're saying. Check your regular season record over the year against the Eagles. Like, the Dallas Cowboys are so far away from winning a championship, especially how they fired their coach and then hired somebody that nobody else was looking to be a head coach. Like, I don't think Dak realizes how far away they are. And watch them go draft Ashton Jeanty in the first round, 12th overall, when they've got needs all across the field. They need to draft a middle linebacker. They need to draft a D-tackle. This is a good draft class for defensive tackles. Maybe they don't do that first round. First round, they need to draft, I don't know, another wide receiver to go alongside CeeDee Lamb. I hate the Eagles and I hate the Dallas Cowboys, honestly. Let's go to Eli and Bayonne before we go to the next break. Eli, you got it. You're on.
How are you, Keith? What's going on?
You know, hosting the show. First time. Taking calls.
First time caller. Your show is really amazing. You're extremely entertaining.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
I've been listening to you for the last 3 years. You're really amazing.
Talk about it. Thank you. Everybody can hear you. Appreciate it.
And I especially like you because I'm a Brooklyn Nets, New York Yankee fan.
Yeah, so, you know. Yes Network people, you know. Brooklyn.
Let's go. I want to know, what do you think? Where do you think the Mets' plan is? Where do you think they're going with this year? Like, where in the world is going on? And do you think there's any chance they can make the playoffs?
Yeah. Like, at this point, I took a call earlier in the show. I forget who it was that called. We're not tanking anymore. Like, these guys, the Pistons beat the Bulls tonight. So let me go check these NBA standings.
Nets are 2.5 games behind.
Yeah. Alec, did you say that in my headphone, or are you saying that
on
air?
No, this is like the one thing I can get to talk about.
Alex and I used to do the Talking Nets podcast last season and the season beforehand. The writing is on the wall here for the Nets to be the 10 seed in the play-in tournament. Maybe even 9. I know that seems like a lot, but there's enough games left where the math is mathing.
Oh, wow.
They can be the 10 seed.
Do you think there's any chance they get to the 6 seed? Like, you think so? Maybe?
It's just a stretch to think that they're good enough to win. Like, that would be winning a share of the games and the teams ahead of them losing. Like, right now, the Detroit Pistons are some 9 games better than them. So, what are the Detroit Pistons, they're pretty good. They're not going to just fall out of it, and the Nets aren't that good where they're going to. Like, they're going to lose some games. But I think the Nets know that they are not going to be, that lottery ball is not going to bounce their way. And to hell with it. Jordy Fernandez wants to coach these guys to win. They have enough talent. They didn't trade Cam Johnson. They have young guys that they drafted that have gotten good minutes. Cam Thomas will come back at some point. Like, they have a chance to mix it up here. And why be bums? Why be bums for a draft pick? Nothing is guaranteed. Nothing is promised. And what I said to the caller before is I trust Sean Marks to scout and draft. I expect them, with all these picks that they have, to add more talent or trade. And I wouldn't bring in a star this next season. But they're on their way to being in contention sooner rather than later. And what I love about it is, like, the Knicks have a window of the next 2-3 years where they're expected to get to the finals. And I don't think they're getting to the finals in these 2-3 years. And then wait till the tables turn in 2-3 years. Like, just stay down till you come up, Nets fans. Stay down till you come up.
Eli. Hi, Keith. You're amazing.
Thanks for the call, man. It's just like, yo, they had to blow the whole thing up. The biggest thing for me, I got my Nets jacket in here. I said earlier, I've been wearing Nets hoodies. I've been breaking out the Nets gear. They got Ben Simmons up out of here. I was checked out as soon as they made the trade for Ben Simmons. I had to fake the funk and pretend like I was down. And like, oh, yeah, you know, James Harden. And nah. I never wanted them to okay that trade. I never wanted Sean Marks to accept the trade for bum-ass Ben Simmons. And now he's off the team, and the Nets have won games, and I think that they're going to continue to win. Like, looking at their upcoming schedule, like, even what they did against the Rockets, that's when I was like, all right, you know, they went to Houston and beat the Rockets last Saturday, and then the Rockets came to Brooklyn, and they beat them with seconds left on the clock. Then they had a disappointing game against the Wizards, who are the worst team in basketball. Whatever. They kicked Ben Simmons to the curb. They turned it right back on against the Heat. They beat the Hornets. I don't see why they can't beat the Sixers tomorrow. But then they got to face the Cavs. And, you know, there's some other team, the Thunder coming up, the Pistons, who we were just talking about. They're going to lose some games. But there's enough games that I think, you know, they have enough time between, you know, this next 2 months that they're going to play. The season doesn't end until April 13th. And then when we get to April 13th, some of these teams, that April 13th game is Knicks versus Nets. You know, we'll see how the Knicks are feeling in that game. And, you know, some of these other teams that they'll play, they might not be really competing. Other teams might not be competing. And the Nets will have an opportunity to try and, you know, rise in the standings. And so be it. The last thing I'll say about it before we break here, 888-808-1019, is like being a fan in the NFL of a tank is different than the NBA. You have one day a week where you just are not as invested, and you're like, if they lose, they lose. In the NBA, it's every other night. There's no way to root for a tank. There's no way to actively watch the games and root for a tank. Like, I remember I did a show on WFAN, like a bridge show, and then I went home and I watched the Nets play the Clippers, and it was like the worst loss of the year. It was a historic loss. And I found myself on the couch, like, why the hell am I up right now? Watch, I could go to bed. I'm not on tonight. I'm watching them lose to the Clippers in historic fashion. I'm like, this is stupid. But, like, I'm naturally watching them lose. For what? There's no way to watch your basketball team tank night after night and be invested in that. It is miserable to watch. We watched it enough this year. They had losing streaks home. They were terrible at home. Whatever. I think now they've gotten to a point where the trade deadline is passed. Ben Simmons is out of there. They have enough reps and experience with each other. They know who is who and what is what. They have depth on their bench. They have enough guys that want to compete and win. Go ahead, compete and win, and get into the play-in. And try and make something of this season. And we'll let the chips fall where they may in the draft. Who cares?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Your official home to talk New York sports is WFAN. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Drop. All right, before the verse drops, let's fade this music out and get back to the show. Keith McPherson on the Fan, another 5 hour KM to AM. You know that. Dial 888-808-1019 if you'd like to chime in on anything that we spoke on, if you want to bring anything else to the table that we haven't spoke on as we bring this thing home. Danny is in Paramus, New Jersey. Danny, you are on now.
Keith, thanks for having me on. Before you made the argument that Lamar should have won the MVP over Josh Allen based on stats, but my argument against that is that the award is for the player that adds the most value to the team, not the player that's a beneficiary for the most passing, like teammates padding their stats. And let me back that up real quick. I'm pretty sure that you'd agree that the Ravens had the better defense to get Lamar the ball back faster, better wide receivers, better tight ends, better running back, and better offensive line, correct?
You can give the nod to all of those above the Bills, yes.
Okay, and despite all those disadvantages, Josh still led his team to a win over the Ravens. If both quarterbacks hypothetically switch teams, do you think that Lamar adds enough value to have beaten a Josh Allen-led Ravens team?
Maybe.
Really?
Maybe. I'm not taking anything away from Lamar Jackson in the season that he just had. There are stats and numbers to tell you how rare Lamar Jackson's season was. He's already a two-time MVP. I think it just leaned into more that they did not want to give him a third. And Josh Allen got his first, and good for him.
Listen, I think you're 100% right. I think the voters wanted to see Josh have it, regardless of what happened. And you're absolutely right. Lamar did absolutely ball out. But I just think that the narrative is a little too against Josh. I had a ton of fun watching him this year.
So did I.
He's a bright spot in a very dark
year. Like I said, there were parts during the regular season where I was like, Josh Allen is the MVP. But then Lamar came on again at the end of the year where I'm like, nah, man, these numbers side by side. I think the number one thing is people are saying, how is he first team, all team pro at quarterback and somebody else wins MVP at the same position? That's not first team. Like, you know. But and like you said, it's, Josh Allen adds more value to his team, but it's not a team award. Josh Allen should be awarded MVP of the Buffalo Bills then, not of the league. Like the most valuable player in the league as far as what he did throwing the ball, running the ball, passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, touchdown to interception ratio is Lamar Jackson.
Sure, that's a compelling argument too. I think they just need a better definition of the term MVP.
It's vague, it's subjective, and it falls into the hands of voters. Thanks for the call, Danny. The Bills finished one win better than the Ravens in the regular season. You could put some fault on some of those losses the Ravens had on the supporting cast, on the defense, on the coaching, and not just Lamar. The same way we say, he had Derrick Henry. He had a better defense than the Bills. It's not about that. It's about who had the best statistical season. That is the most valuable player in the league, in my opinion. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it changes year to year. I think for a fact we all can say when you apply what happened to Nikola Jokic wins back-to-back MVPs, they give it to Embiid, and then Jokic just goes and wins the championship and wins final MVP. Embiid shouldn't have been the MVP, bro. And he had a good season, but it's like until you got a reason to dethrone that guy, if that guy is still producing at the level he's producing, Lamar had a better season this year than his MVP seasons. So it's like, I don't know, man. It doesn't matter. But I felt bad for Lamar. because he, you know, he ducked everything. I think he was upset. He didn't even show up to the NFL honors at all. You know, let's see. Lamar Jackson had more passing yards. Lamar Jackson had, I know he had more touchdowns. And I don't really have time to go through all this because I'm running out of time. Kevin is in Carmel, New York. What's up, Kevin? You're next.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Bringing it home. Go for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yup, you got it. Go for it.
Yeah. Okay, so either fire Shane and Dable or don't. They did neither. So I'm like, okay, cool. So where the hell are we at? And then also, I heard you had a cat that you love. I'm like, damn, don't Google what cats will do to you, you know?
Yeah, don't. I mean, Google is one thing. I had never had an animal growing up. My wife grew up with animals. She adopted this cat and put this cat in my apartment. I thought I was going to be able to ignore the cat. I am the one that changed the kitty litter. I feed the cat. I sleep with the cat. The cat comes to me. The cat like moves when I move, and I'm like, I had no idea. I had no idea this would happen.
But sports point. Talking off the ledge as a Giants fan, either fire, you know, because everyone keeps saying it's like they have no choice. What are they? It's like get rid of them, because now it's like why not extend them? Either extend them. Cause I would love that. We trust in them. You know, we trust
Shane
them.
And Dable have contracts that they're still under. They don't need to extend them. They got to see what happens this year. They didn't fire them, and they should have fired them, but they're practicing patience, and I think that John Mara is a victim of his own past mistakes, where he doesn't want to make a mistake again. And I think there's a lot of Giants fans that say, hey, let's just see what these guys can do versus letting John Mara make another GM and head coaching hire. But you know what? The 33rd team is out there. Thanks for the call, Kevin. If Mara feels like he needs some help, and if the Jets have a decent year this year after moving on from Aaron Rodgers, Mara can go in and enlist the 33rd team and say, hey, Shane and Dable are out of here. I need some help figuring out who I should hire next. Robert is in Jersey. Before we get out of here, we've got time for his call and maybe one more. Josh and Passaic is holding. Go for it, Robert.
Hey, Keith, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, so I know you were just talking about football, but I'm a Giants fan, so I already want to put my head through a wall with that. So I want to talk about the other team that makes me want to put my head through a wall, the Yankees. You know, Martino just tweeted out before how the Yankees were never in on Arenado and apparently Bregman either. If they don't move forward with either DJ, Waldo, or Peraza at third, what's their backup? Do they go for Nico Hoyner? Do they go for, you know, Willie Castro? I really don't know what their plans are going to be.
Yeah, well, I don't think that they are looking to trade. I think that they honestly feel like they have enough, and they want DJ to probably win the job or Cabrera to show he could be an everyday player. And if they feel like those guys are lacking, they have between now and August to go trade for a starting third baseman. I think that they look at it as like, hey, here's where we are. We weren't able to trade Marcus Stroman. DJ's making this much money.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go internal options here. It's not great. Like, Yankee fans are like, this is them not going all in. This is them, you know, leaving a hole in the lineup in the infield. But we've got time to sort things out, figure out where the trade. And I know Cashman has probably worked on it, and I'm fine with it. I've accepted it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing we really can do. I just know they wanted to move Stroman, so, you know, would then a third baseman be in our, you know, sight instead of, you know, just prospects for him, you know?
Still could. And Cash, we trust. Thanks for the call, Robert. Still could. Somebody may want Marcus Stroman's services and take on his contract or some of his contract, and maybe they can figure out a deal to get another, like, you know, third baseman, major league caliber third baseman would be great. Like, how great would it be? I don't know who the guy is. Somebody that can play third and lead off. Josh is in Passaic. My last call of the night. Go for it, Josh.
Hey, Keith. How you feeling?
Pretty good. Another five-hour show. Knocked it down.
Right. So, first off, it was great to see you know, Philly, how that game ended tonight with you know, being not taking the shine of turning it over and the booze raining down. Because they at least, you know, they can have something badass in there after that, after the Super Bowl win. Because
the
they
Sixers are a joke. The Sixers are...
Or the Nets are a game behind the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Sixers, you don't need to say anything more.
Hey, we're about to play them twice in a week, I believe. Beat them. Beat them at least once.
Right, and, you know, with Marcus Stroman, Keith, you know, he always does good in the beginning of the year. So, you know, I think you should let him rip for a month and a half, and then, you know, then ship him away. And then, you know, last thing I'll leave, often I listen to what you have to say, you know, with Jeff McNeil, why is he going to be the starting second baseman? David Stearns is smart. Carlos Mendoza is smart. Why is he still starting? He's
you
not
want
good anymore.
To just get the job handed to him today?
There's a report coming out that they're planning on going ahead with him at second base. And
he's Jeff McNeil. He's paid. He's a veteran. They trust his
paid.
Bat. He's a left-handed bat. They hope they get happy Jeff, not sad Jeff. He's proven. Acuna's
the issue with him is he's not. He hits a lot of ground balls. Doesn't have pop. And there's a very big chance he's not going to bat over 250. So if a guy's not giving you homers and he's batting under 250, what's he there for? Just turn to a younger guy and, you know, put it between Acuna
they,
and, you know, Mauricio's
can.
A little unhealthy, but, you know, you'll see how long it takes for him to come back. I just don't like this. They just get rid of him. I don't feel comfortable when he's taking at bats. And I think most Mets fans would agree with me that they don't like Jeff McNeil either.
Yeah, his attitude changed last year. You know, he was a little pissy. He had a bad attitude. You know, I think if you get happy Jeff and he's hitting and he's coming through, it'll be all right. And if he's not, they know where to go. They will pivot. They will. You know, he didn't get any favoritism over Jose Iglesias last year, right? Like,
toward the end of the year, yes. And the Mets, and besides your, you know, McNeil's attitude changing, it's the fans itself, I think, attitude changed towards Jeff McNeil also. Okay, thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call. Jeff McNeil just has to perform. This guy won a batting title a couple years ago. I know everybody loves to say that, but it happened. He needs to be that. That's what they paid him for. The fans don't have to change anything. The Mets don't have to change anything. Play. Compete. You know, be who they're expecting you to be. And if not, then, yeah, we got some young guys that we can figure it out. Like Luis Angel Acuna, Ronnie Mauricio, Brett Beatty. You brought Pete Alonso back, so you have plenty of options in that infield if Jeff McNeil's not getting it done. When are they going to bring back, oh, my God, when they bringing back Candelita? We need the remix. Didn't he make the remix with Pit? Where's the, I never even heard the Pitbull remix. The Mets got eliminated, and we just stopped playing OMG on the Fan. That's crazy. That was everything. You know, I was listening to J.D. Martinez talk about it. Nick Castellanos said he was MVP. All right, I'm out of here. Everybody watching my live, I'm out as well. Appreciate y'all for calling the show and interacting. If I didn't get back to you online, just DM me or tweet at me. I got to drive home and try and sleep and, you know, hopefully my son doesn't puke in the middle of the night and we got to hose him down. And you know how that goes. Or maybe you don't know how that goes. Anyway, Pico de Gallo, Anthony Gallo, coming up next on The Fan. Keep it locked right here. Cam out. Sports Radio 101.